Good morning to each and every listener. May I say that it's certainly a pleasure to come your way once again with a short gospel message, and I hope that it finds each of you well and encouraged in the Lord. But before that, listen to this special recording of Brother Harlan Sorrow.
The Savior is pleading, dear sinner, for thee. He suffered, bled, and died for you and me. He's now interceding, oh come and be free. The purchase price was paid on Calvary. Oh sinner, come and seek this great salvation. Backslider, turn, you'll find a welcome home. Delay no longer, heed the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Your soul may be tarnished and under despair. The vilest heart you'll change to snowy white. Oh, come and be garnished with holiness fair. His yoke is easy and his burden light. Oh, sinner, come and seek this great salvation. Backslider, turn, you'll find a welcome home. Delay no longer, heed the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, professor, his pardon implore. Repent and enter in through Christ the door. The church must be holy, the same as of yore. Be washed in Jesus' blood and sin no more. Oh, sinner, come and seek this great salvation. Backslider, turn, you'll find a welcome home. Delay no longer, heed the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Delay then no longer, return to the fold. You'll fill your heart with peace and joy untold. For Father's compassion it just as of old. And no good thing from you will he withhold. Oh, sinner, come and seek this great salvation. Backslider, turn, you'll find a welcome home. Delay no longer, heed the invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Today I'm going to speak of something which is somewhat unpopular, yet it is scriptural, and I consider it very vital to the growth of everyone who would fully develop into a man or woman of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 read this way, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." Especially am I concerned with a prophecy given by the Apostle Paul when he said, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." I believe he knew what he was talking about. We believe he was divinely inspired by the Spirit of God, and that he foresaw in the future that men and women would depart from the truth and seek out teachers, preachers, theologians, Sunday school teachers, orators, and those whose hearts depart from the truth, and yet they would speak beautiful sounding words to tickle the ears of the people. Friends, let me tell you something. What we need is not people who tickle our ears when we depart from the truth. God needs prophets who will point out the sins of the people to them. Let me show you how God used a prophet to speak to David when David had committed an abomination in the sight of God. He'd given away to the lust of his eyes and was guilty of the sin of adultery by taking Uriah's wife while Uriah was out on the battlefield. But let me assure you, this sin did not go by unnoticed in the sight of God. Furthermore, he had caused Uriah to be put in a dangerous place in the battle where his life was taken. Then He took Uriah's wife to be his own. There is a sentence in 2 Samuel, the 11th chapter and verse 27, which stands out above the others. Listen as I read it. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Have you ever taken time to ask yourself the question, is this thing which I am doing displeasing the Lord? You see, many people are seeking their own pleasure more than the will of God. Here again is more of the prophecy which the Apostle Paul spoke, of which should come in the last days. He said, in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, 1-4. Isn't that a catalog of sins? And yet, we are seeing it fulfill before our very eyes in these days. Friends, there are certain things which displease God regardless of who does them. If they are wrong for one, then they are wrong for others. Now, as I said, David's sin did not go by unnoticed, but all the while, God had a true prophet to whom he could entrust his word. Nathan did not spare to tell David the truth. You may have read in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel how Nathan gave the parable of the rich man who had the flocks and herds of his own, but when a traveler came to his home, he sent to the poor man's possessions and fetched from his one ewe lamb, which he had nourished as one of his children. This he prepared for the feast for the traveler. Well, of course, when David heard this, he became greatly disturbed. In fact, he immediately passed judgment upon such a man as this, for he said, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. You see, these were David's own words now. Yes, he was ready to take vengeance immediately. He thought that was a terrible thing for one to do, and I agree with him. It was. But remember, God had not forgotten the thing which David had done, and it had displeased the Lord. Can you picture Nathan that day standing before David the king in all of his glory? Was he seeking smooth words to tickle the ears of King David? I doubt it. He was no doubt thinking of the charge which God had given him to speak the truth and point out the sins of the king, the same as he would point out the sins of the peasant in the field. Therefore, he made this most powerful statement while no doubt looking David straight in the face. I wonder if he pointed his finger at him when he said, "Thou art the man." He went on to tell David how God had blessed him by delivering both Judah and Israel into his dominion. He gave him the goods of all those lands. Then Nathan said, "Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" You see, with God, there's no respecter of persons. He does not condone in one what he condemns in another. He does not sanction in an individual or a nation that which he condemns in his word. If a certain thing displeased God in David's day, the same thing today still displeases him. The time element does not change the characteristics or righteousness of God. This is also true when sin is found in an individual or a nation. First, as individuals, God hath called upon all to repent of their wickedness. Friends, do you know what our country needs more than anything else? Uncle Sam needs a genuine repentance of heart. Uncle Sam needs to be found at prayer meeting on his knees seeking the face of God. For, no doubt, God is saying to America today, "Thou art the man." And yet, there are those who seek out prophets and preachers to tickle their ears. Now, just suppose that there had been no prophets of God in the days of David. Suppose Nathan had feared to tell the king of his sin. Then what? A sad condition would it have been indeed. Therefore, let us, as a people of God, not seek to tickle the ears of the people and to please them, but let us speak the truth, live the truth, and abide in it forever, lest God say to us, Thou art the man. Friends, let me ask you, what is your purpose in life? Is it to please yourself? Is it to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of life for only a moment of time? Is it to hide your sins beneath the cloak of religion? Is it to profess to serve God in words and yet in works deny Him? God forbid. Let us have one purpose above all others in life. That is to do the will of God. Really, that is success in life. And that alone is the essence of a successful life. I used to know a little piece of poetry that I learned in school. It went something like this. Pleasures are like poppies spread. You see the flower, its bloom is shed. Or like the snow falls in the river, a moment white, then melts forever. Or like the borealis rays that flit ere you can point its place. Or like the rainbow's lovely form, vanishing amid the storm. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that you would give each of us the courage to do your will, regardless of the cost. Bless those who hear the broadcast today. Be a comfort to those who are in sorrow. Provide healing for those who are afflicted. And deliver those who are bound by the shackles of sin. And to thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen to this song now. The Wayworn Traveler is sung by the Carver Quartet. My father used to sing this old song. Sometimes I would join with him.
I saw him in the evening, the sun was bending low. He'd overtopped the mountain and reached the vale below. He saw the golden city, his everlasting home, and shouted loud hosannas, deliverance will come. Then palms of victory, crowns of glory, palms of victory I shall wear. While gazing on that city, just o'er the narrow flood, a band of holy angels came from the throne of God. They bore him on their pinions, safe o'er the dashing foam, and joined him in his triumph. Deliverance has come.
This message has been brought to you by the Mission Trail of Guthrie, Oklahoma. Until next Sunday, this same time, same station, this is Willie Murphy saying a pleasant goodbye.